Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Again, election edition. I don't know if this makes it any more special. But no. It is the good, the bad, and the dumb.
I mean, there's, you know, I'll be honest with you, there's not much election coverage here.
Yeah, good. Yeah. All right, let's get the good of the day.
Maybe tomorrow there'll be election coverage.
Yeah, maybe so.
But the good of the day is that a whale tail saved a runaway train.
I saw this. Yeah, I saw this story.
In the Netherlands. You know, if we've all been on an elevated train or a subway, there's usually an end marker where,
yeah.
You know, and for whatever reason, this train just kind of blasted right through it. Was getting ready to skid off the high rise or whatever. It's the elevated train and plummet down into the water, but miraculously saved by not only a whale's tail, but a plastic whale's tail.
Wow, and that even held up.
Yeah, it's made out of polyester. I guess that's hardened. And it's just sculpture in the Netherlands that has, you know, it's two whale tails going up. And they even said that if it landed on the other one, it probably would have plummeted. But the fact that it landed on this one, it, you know, makes for awesome photos.
What?
Tell you that much.
Is this the conductor's fault or is it
electrical? They haven't came out with that. Fortunately, there were no people on the train except for the driver.
Okay. Well, and, all right. He counts, though.
Yeah. But. And he was... came away uninjured. I don't know if he still has a job, but he came away uninjured.
Oh.
But yeah, that was just, I mean, bizarre look at it. I mean, it looks straight out of any superhero movie you've ever seen. How this train is just sitting. And then, you know, and they're sitting there. It's like, well, it's going to be a couple of days to remove it because they got to do it carefully because they don't want to ruin the sculpture.
Of course not. Yeah, exactly. Keep the sculpture as best you possibly can. It did sacrifice itself for the safety of the train.
Yes.
So.
But when you look at it, I mean, it's amazing that this thing, I don't get physics sometimes.
Yeah, me
either.
Because
it looks like this thing should have just plummeted right down into that whale cell. I mean, I can't imagine it going that fast.
Man.
It was able to cruise over the air a little bit because there's some separation.
Well, sometimes we get stories like that that are great. Fantastic. That was a good one. Yeah, it saved the train and the driver from being plummeted into the water.
Into the water.
But if you were on a subway and you found out, if you were on that subway, you found out that you were saved by a whale tail sculpture before plummeting into the water, you may never go on a subway again. You may find another means of transportation.
Yeah.
I can't go on these things. So.
I was on a train once that got into an accident.
Oh, really?
And, I mean, I didn't, it just felt like we hit a little bump. We didn't feel anything. And then our train car stopped right where the accident was, and you could see that, you know, it totally clipped the back end of this car. And the train has to stay there and stop until authorities come, and they got to do a report. So we were kind of stuck there for almost an hour.
Yeah.
But our window, like the window on our train looked exact down right at this intersection, and you could see this car. I mean, the woman was unhurt. It was as if, you know, people in front of her didn't move up, or I don't know what. I don't even know how it happens. I've never been in a situation where I've been stuck on a train track where I couldn't move forward or backwards, or, you know, have the presence of mind like, you know what, I'm just going to go into the other end of traffic. I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, we clipped the, and it didn't feel anything on the train. And we just, you know, had to wait. Then, you know, maybe 30 seconds later, made it to that stop and dropped off passengers, picked them up, and then cruised on to our destination.
Kept on going. Wow. All right. Well, then what's the bad of the day?
Well, we got two.
All right. Two.
Two bad of the day. Yeah.
All right.
One is, I don't know how to think of this. All right. Marriott is offering day passes. So for those who are tired of working from home, they can reserve a room from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and work from their hotel room.
Oh. But, okay. Does that...
I'm
trying to think about what makes that bad.
Well, I mean, no, I mean, it's a lot of good.
Work economically for them?
No, I maybe it's me, but I'm thinking of the other thing. Like,
oh, that's what it's for. They're promoting it for something else, but it's for the other. It's for why you think it's for.
Right.
Right. But it's being marketed as.
Just
but you
home.
Can work from work in a hotel room instead of your house.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
I,
yeah, you're right. You're right.
I look at it as an easy, like, hey, honey, yeah, you know, I know I'm still supposed to be working from home, but I just got to get out of this house. I can't stare at my office anymore. I'm going to go stay at this hotel room.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the, Marriott, you said? I'm going to the Marriott. Yeah, that's, I might not fly. You're right. No, that's an interesting marketing strategy.
Yeah.
Right? It's like...
I mean, it just reminds me of those, you know, hotel rooms that rent rooms by the hour. That's basically what this is.
It reminded me when I was in college and it was the legalized marijuana crowd or the legalized hemp crowd was always like, we can make clothes and rope out of this.
Right.
It's like, it's not really why you're standing in front of, you know, with a sign that you want this legalized.
It's not
really interested in rope and clothes.
It's not why you're wearing shaggy clothes, your eyes look burnt out, bloodshot, and you have dreadlocks.
You're not worried about the rope industry. Like, that's this, right?
That's exactly.
No, you can come bring your laptop.
Yes.
And work here, but they know why people are booking it.
Yeah.
They know why. They know it's like, wink, wink, work, yeah, work for work with us. Yeah. I get it.
I mean, I understand. Fly if I say, yeah, Betty just has to run, stop by real quick just to drop off a few papers that I left. That she, you know, she picked up some documents for me.
That's right.
She's just stopping by. She's only going to be here for a few minutes.
That's a good point.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
No. I'm starting to see the kind of downfall in that. I think it's a tough sell.
It is a tough sell. I don't know. I mean, you and I didn't. Well, me particularly. I never got the pleasure of working from home during this pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been.
You've had to go in.
I've not been able to escape not being. I'm an essential employee. That's what somebody told me in this building. And I was like, great.
Yeah, well, that's a nice designation to have.
I know, but...
The question is, though, is a hotel...
I'd like to work from a hotel. I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I guess a hotel... I mean, if you get all the perks of being in the hotel, like you can use the pool if it's open. I mean, COVID, I don't know what...
True.
All of those things. But let's say it is.
You get to use room service.
There's good room service. Like, I could get that.
You know, but, you have full access to the business center because, you know, if you need to something. Because I think hotels are the only ones with fax machines left.
Yeah, that is true. It's exactly. All right, so what's the other bad of the day?
The other bad of the day is that I'm not making light of this. It's just the title this guy has made me laugh.
Which is?
This guy died. Okay, I just got to preface it. It is bad that this guy died, but his title, he was the Sausage King of Russia.
Yes. I saw this yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah. At first, I didn't really know what to expect, but then I read the story. The Sausage King of Russia, he was murdered by a crossbow in his
crossbow.
Sauna.
He was in a sauna, and an unidentified assailant came in with, like, almost like an assassin, came in and nailed him with a crossbow, and he died.
Right. And his friend... They didn't specify wife, girlfriend, his friend. She was able to escape from the window through a window and call the police.
Wow.
But it was just the fact that, you know, the title was the Sausage King of Russia.
Yes.
And all I could think about was Abe Froman.
Me too. That's what I posted this on Twitter under the link. I said, a man was murdered and all I care about is coming here for the Abe Froman jokes.
Yes.
Like, that's all I cared about. I see this story where the Sausage King of Russia gets murdered and I'm like, oh, I bet there's a lot of cool Abe Froman jokes.
Yeah,
I didn't even give a thought to the man that was killed.
I didn't think
about his family.
No.
I didn't care about him. His mother might still be alive. She might be heartbroken over this.
Well, I was like,
where are the Abe Froman jokes? Come on. And Twitter did not let me down.
Of course not. No.
Let me down.
The one thing I was wondering was, did he get snooty?
Yeah, right.
Just curious. And if you don't know what we're talking about, we're not going to tell you.
Yeah.
You need to just culture yourself.
Come on. Culture yourself.
Sausage King of Russia. Just not to be confused with the Sausage King of Chicago.
That's right. You're Abe Froman. Yes, I am. Sausage King of Chicago. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sick. I need some help. I didn't have any empathy whatsoever.
No, I read the story too. I guess his son died earlier that year.
Oh, see, tragically.
Due to a motorcycle. But here's the other problem, okay? His son died because of a motorcycle accident last year. Now he's dead due to crossbow and in the sauna. This is Russia.
Yeah.
You know, is it bad that I immediately think, like, these two murders are related?
Sure. Of course. No.
Or not murders, but these two deaths.
Of course not.
Are related because the other one was a motorcycle accident. But I'm like, yeah, these are the
same
guys.
It is totally fine.
You know, this is just, it's Russia. I feel bad about that. I mean, you know, forgive me, Russia. Don't come after me. I don't want to mysteriously have an accident, but this the kind of stuff happens to you all the time.
Exactly. All the time. All the time. I got to think that if some major economic personality like Frank Perdue or somebody who's known for some product, well known, right? And they were murdered in a sauna by a crossbow in this country. You would not see the end of that story for days and days and days.
Yeah, this one. This one will be, by the way.
Yeah,
the back pages of a newspaper if they still make them there. I don't know.
I know completely. Dumb of the day.
Dumb of the day. I really don't know. I get the reasoning behind this, but it's kind of worrisome that some NHL I can't talk today. NHL owners are reportedly lobbying to cancel next season if they can't have fans in the stadiums, in the arenas.
Oh, see, that's funny that you mentioned that because I kept wondering who was going to be the sports entity that was going to say, look, we really can't take a hit like we just took.
I mean, in the NHL, I get on the one hand, the NHL is very ticket-driven. That's how they make their money. There's not a whole lot of revenue. Maybe up in Canada they have a whole lot of revenue. But, you know, here in the United States, I mean, it's, yeah, we'll put it on TV if we have nothing else to watch.
Yeah, here's the thing. Look, I don't want to use the word lucked out because it's a virus and it was bad. But the NBA and the NHL, I guess, were lucky in that the shutdown occurred when they were pretty much wrapping up their regular season. So what they were able to do is they were able to create a method of coming back that was just either let's get a couple of games in, but then let's give the meat of what we really are, the playoffs and the money that's generated from that. If you are the NBA and the NHL and you're looking to have a full season or three quarters of a season, depending on what your conversation is about your start time, and it's going to be empty arenas, that's when the owners are going to be like, oh, okay, now I have no money.
Right.
Like, now I'm not making any money.
I mean, at least like with the NBA, there's, you know, television revenue coming in. NFL, I mean, they don't worry about fans not being in the stands.
Right.
NHL, that's a big concern for them. But I don't know if they would be able to survive another season where they don't play.
No, they won't. And because hockey fan is very loyal, and you don't need a ton of them in a city to get sold out arenas, right? You can find in most markets, you can find enough people that love hockey, whether they, even in the sunnier areas of the country where it's not, where people don't grow up playing it, there's enough people who love the sport, transplants, et cetera, that buy the season tickets and will go to your games. Forget Boston, Montreal, Toronto, New York, where they're selling out every night all the time. But
you're talking like Tampa. Reigning Stanley Cup holders.
You need to start selling suites and tickets and all of that. You're right. And if you can't, that's a revenue stream that's not coming back in a television package for regular season games.
Not at all.
100%. 100%.
But,
you're right.
But at the same, you know, I get why they need to do that. But at the same time, hockey, it seems to me, and maybe it's just me, because I'm not a hockey guy, but it just seems to me that this would do more harm than good.
Yeah, I agree.
I understand that you need to save money or that you don't have the money, but I don't know how you would survive. I don't know how hockey would come back.
All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we roll along. Again, coming up next hour, we will get the top five and bottom five after 8 weeks of the National Football League. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.